But how many people fear that one day they'll wake up and lose their appetite for spiritual things? Oh, taste. And the word taste is to become aware of through our senses, to receive understanding. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. The majority of this world have already decided that the things of God are bitter and not sweet. They don't crave them. They don't want them. They know it's not going to be palatable for them. Nothing that has to do with God or religion has any gratifying value to the senses that man has. It's bitter, it's sour, it's tasteless at best. Now, it typifies the shewbread that was in the tabernacle that the priest had to eat, shewbread, unleavened bread, and they would sprinkle frankincense on it. And at first, when they would bite it or eat it, it would be bitter to the palate, but as they chewed it, it became sweet and they couldn't get enough of it. So is the word of God. When we open it, we think, this is not for me, the thous and the thou shalt nots and the do's and the don'ts. I don't want it. But if you would just continue to taste of the things of God, you would recognize, oh, this is good. They don't look at God's church as cake and ice cream. Right. To them, church is egg whites. Job 6:6 says, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Some of us, shake it on. Don't even taste your food. You just shake it on. Because you want more flavor than what you think is on your plate. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt, or is there any taste in the white of an egg? I don't know about you, but if I'm going to have eggs, I want the yellow in it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Real men eat the whole egg, folks. Amen. It's God's container, you know. People believe our walk with God is tasteless. It's like egg whites. It has no excitement to it. It has absolutely no appeal to it. It is bland, it is tasteless, and it isn't for me. But God made the church the salt of the earth to give some proper taste and some flavor to the things of God. And when they walk into a Pentecostal church, well, we're pouring it on, pouring it on, pouring it on. Ooh, that tastes good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. New converts have the most success because they salt everything. You know? There isn't a person that they're not salting. Oh, God is so good. What is your problem? Too much salt. People who thought religion was dead and boring now begin to taste the real flavor of what God has for them. It's not bitter, it's not tasteless. Maybe even develop an appetite for something that they have never tasted before. Oh, if the world could just get a taste of the goodness of God. Oh, if we could just get them in one song service to get a little flavor of what real church is all about. Oh, if they could have an upper room experience. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that so many people have preconceived ideas of what is good and what isn't good? When I was a kid, I remember my mother trying to put cheese on my plate, and I thought, I'm not eating that. And then she would put it on a hamburger, and that's it. I'm not eating the hamburger. I knew hamburger was good, but cheese, come on. It just looks like some rubber kind of thing that you put on. And then one day, I ate some cheese by accident. And I've been praying ever since that God would take my appetite for cheese away. You know. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember when our kids were small, we'd go to McDonald's and before they'd eat a hamburger, we'd have to pick the pickles off. And now they can't get enough pickles, you know? I don't know if they've ever tasted. I've got a grandchild who won't eat anything with mushrooms on it, but have you ever tasted mushrooms, Charter? Yeah. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Glory to God. I might have mixed that up, I'm not sure. Oh, glory to God. It may not look appetizing because the flesh doesn't like it. But I'm not so concerned about feeding the flesh as I am feeding the spirit. Hallelujah. See, I want to get God's taste buds. I want to be attracted to the things that God is attracted to. You'll say like David in Psalms 119 and 103, how sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Nothing is as pure as honey. There isn't any decay in honey. It just doesn't decay. It doesn't spoil. This word does not spoil. It is always fresh. In Jewish times, the Jewish rabbi would teach the children the word of God. And what he would do is they had slates, and the word of God would be on the slate, and the rabbi would put honey on the slate, and then the children were to trace the letters on the slate with their finger, and as they did that, they put it in their mouth. And what it did was it created something like our quizzers. Oh, they're getting the honey with the word. They recognize the value of memorizing the scripture that is going to be with them forever and ever. For 2 months, people tried to get me to come to a Pentecostal church service, and I dug my heels in and I resisted. I knew it would be a greater commitment, and I knew I didn't want to be a part of those fanatics. But then one day I accidentally had a little cheese. One day I stumbled into a Pentecostal church service, and now I'll never be the same again because I tasted of the goodness of God and how sweet it is. And I am now spoiled for anything less than worshiping in spirit and in truth. Somebody sent me a little internet thing on our email, and it was several pictures, little videos actually, of babies having their first taste of something sour. Glory to God. I mean, it was just hilarious, the different expressions that these babies had, you know, to something that they had never tasted before. But I'll guarantee you that in the near future, they're going to want that sour candy, and they're going to want some of those sour drinks, and they're because of their first expression. Well, you know, I've seen the faces of people who have come into services. I've seen the faces of people who have come to my Bible studies. You can see their face shrivel up because they don't think they're going to like what they're feeling or what they're hearing. But it isn't long that their expression changes because they're tasting of the goodness of the Word of God. Thank God that our tastes change. Hallelujah. Now, you may say that that's all fine, but I'm in the church. And I've been eating at the table for a long time, yes. But are you just living on milk and mashed potatoes? Are you just getting egg whites? Oh, and a little meat every once in a while, throw you Acts 2 and 38 or John 3 and 5 or 1 Peter 3 and 21 or Revelation 1 and 8. You get a little bit of meat, you choke it down, and then you look for more mashed potatoes and milk. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles or the utterance of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of what? Use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Because we've been in the word of God, what happens is our senses, our appetites are exposed to different things. And now, you know what? It's not good enough just to hear about salvation. I want a little more in-depth of what's going on. The preaching of the word all of a sudden becomes exciting because there's new revelation about our God, something that you didn't know before, some promise in the word of God that you didn't realize was there, but now taste and see that the Lord is good. There's something special for you. Oh, please don't lose your appetite for spiritual things. Perhaps you have limited your taste to the staples of Pentecost. What about the diversity of delicacies, delectables that God has prepared for each and every one of us? But, you know, sometimes we have to cook on our own. But perhaps you have never experienced some. Ladies and gentlemen, for your consideration, we have prepared for you and your palate a wide range of delectables. Perhaps you would try Saturday morning prayer. How about foot washing? How about maybe you'd want to overindulge yourself in giving? Because it will satisfy you like nothing else will. When you get to the place where you want to go beyond what is just the basics, just the principles of God, all of a sudden you develop a palate for more and more and more. I can't get enough. Hallelujah. You know, the devil and this world are getting young people to taste. And to see the pleasures of the flesh. The advertisement out here of the enemy of our soul has said to young people, you know, you ought to try smoking. You ought to try drinking. You ought to try drugs. I want you to develop a taste for those things that will lock you out of the church. You know you can't get beyond it. Today's cigarettes have more nicotine in them, and they're harder to kick than cocaine. And all the enemy wants you to do is just taste one. Just taste a little bit of this, and we're going to get you, and we're going to develop an attitude and an appetite for the things that you shouldn't have. So don't feel bad about force-feeding people when you give them a taste of God. Don't worry about it. Maybe you will hook them on something that will bring them to eternity. You see, we have got something that beats all of the tastes of all of the world that they can come up with. We've got something eternal. We've got something that we can hook people on that will actually be good for them. It's the bread of life. It will nourish. It'll make them feel good. It'll give them satisfaction like nothing else will. I was going to read some scriptures, but I'm not. In Exodus, the 16th chapter, it talks about how God brought manna down from heaven, and it satisfied all of the needs of the people. They were never hungry. Those who wanted more could get as much as they want. They go out in the morning, they pick it up. It was just like little white wafers that was so pure, and it was filling. And every day they had to go out and get what they needed, except the day before the Sabbath, they get twice as much. Because there was nothing that would come to them on the Sabbath. I'm telling you, folks, we ought to get enough of whatever we need. And then they got to the place where they were tired of the manna, the bread from heaven. It's a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. Don't ever get tired of what we got here. Well, we're going through this. We're doing the same thing. Isn't there something new? Isn't there something more exciting? No, this will fulfill, this will satisfy like nothing else. And then finally, people said, we want some meat. We're tired of this food that comes down from heaven. God said, okay, I'll give you some meat. I'll give you some quail. I won't give it to you for a day or a week. I'll give it to you for a entire month. And the Bible says they ate quail until it was coming out of their nose. They were so sick of the flesh. I'll tell you what, folks, I see it happening when people, you know, they have heard all the messages that they can hear. They've been in every exciting Pentecostal service that they could ever be in. And then all of a sudden, they have an appetite for the things of the flesh. And they think somehow that that's going to satisfy them where the things of God didn't. And it doesn't. It doesn't. Glory to God. Take a look at one last scripture. Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein and with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiment of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete. You're completely satisfied in him, which is the head of all principalities and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sin and of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. What God has done is he's taken your past, he's taken your sins, he's nailed it to the cross. You are free from the desires of the flesh if you will make that commitment to God. And then it goes on to say, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show, an exhibit of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect to the holy days or festivals or of the new moons or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all of the body by joint and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increasing with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to the ordinances, subject to the appetites that you used to have when God has crucified that in you? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men. He's saying, you know what? There are some things, don't touch, don't taste, don't handle, because what's going to happen is you're going to start to develop a taste for the wrong things. You know, I don't know how true this is, but I've heard it for a lot of years. Whatever you start eating, you're going to start craving. And when you get enough of the Word of God, you're going to want more of the Word of God. You're going to say, come on, come on, come on. I believe preaching is necessary. The foolishness of preaching saves us. I'm satisfied with God's menu. You can be satisfied with God's menu. You do not have to add anything else to your diet besides God. I'm talking about spiritually. Glory to God. 7 days a week, I'm satisfied with God's menu. God's not looking for picky eaters, folks. He's looking for somebody that's hungry. I'm desperate for God. I'm hungry for God. Glory to God. Are you hungry? Are you desperate for the things of God? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Some time ago, we got together with the Bible Quizzers, and they're just doing a terrific job, and there are so many people who have sacrificed in order to promote Bible quizzing, and they've actually gone to Madison every other week in order to raise money in order to take care of their Bible quizzing expenses and the church's health out. But the reason we do that is because we are investing in our young people. There are a lot of young people when they get to teenage age where they feel a little more independent. They leave the church. And you know what? If we invest in our children and allow them to see the goodness of the Word of God, you're going to find that we're not going to have mortalities in our young people. And so what we want you to do, and most of you hear us, and we line up our kids and show you our trophies. If you went upstairs, we have literally hundreds of trophies, I would think. In fact, the quiz department of Wisconsin saying, if you want to recycle your trophies, we can do that. And we're not going to recycle our rewards. We're keeping what we got. Amen. We're not recycling our kids. Why would we recycle our trophies, you know? Glory to God. So, with that, would you give some time and some attention to our Bible quizzers? Because I think it was just a couple of years ago, we were first in the nation with Bible quizzers and junior quizzers. And every year, we're going to tournaments we're doing very well, but because of the effort that has been put in it, and this church has got to be behind them. So we're going to take a little time to give them time in order to make a presentation. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Brother Gilgamot, would you come? Hallelujah. Would you clap your hands for the Lord? Amen. I don't want to take any more time, but I remember when I was maybe 6 or 7 years old, I was in a little presentation at church. It was a denominational church, but it is etched in my mind forever because of what is happening. We want to have some influence on our young people, and it is our responsibility in order to give them that spotlight that would propel them to be Christians way beyond their childhood. Amen. Glory to God. Brother Gilgamot.
All right. You may be seated. We have a great church. I look at my children growing up, and they're going to be setting up while I get going here. And Aaron was in for 11 years in Bible quizzing, and Josh in 8, and I know it has been a studying factor in all of our lives. And I am just so supportive of the ministry on all levels. And so we're going to hopefully give you a little taste of how it actually works tonight. You know, when I went to school, one of our first days, we were a bunch of us guys are brand new, and we didn't really know each other, and we're all standing in a circle. And I saw this guy come up behind me. You know how people in a social situation try to kind of wedge into your circle and say hello? Well, I purposely kind of closed the circle off, just jokingly. And I go, get out of here, kid. You know, he was about the same age as me. And we do that. You know, we're like, you kids go on. You know, we do that from time to time. So I did that to him. And it was funny because for 4 years later, his nickname was Kid. He liked it though, so he had liked the fact that I was teasing about that. But it brings me to a verse that was ringing through my ears this morning when Jesus said this in Matthew 19. Then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes, you know, we're about our business and we're like, you kids, get out of the way here. We got to do the work of God. When God's saying, no, this is the work of God. And so I really appreciate this is an awesome church. Is Isabella here? She can come on up. And Manuel, if you'd like to help us out. We got 4 kids that are going to help us out, and Brother Shane's going to run this computer. We wanted to